They haven't really practiced it, so let's see how it goes.
You should have the luck of the Irish. You'd be sorry and wish you were dead. You should have the luck of the Irish. And you'd wish you had the Ramblecast instead. A thousand years of Jack's old jokes drove Matt crazy and mad. But Chris and Nick, they just drank like the good old Irish lads. You should have the luck of the Irish. You'd be sorry and wish you were dead. You should have the luck of the Irish. And you'd wish you had the Ramblecast instead.
I knew Matt would know that one.
Yeah.
So I was going
to say Nick. Best one yet.
I wanted to hear that song today, so I'm hearing it from you for the first time for today. That's awesome.
Even though you're going crazy?
Because of you, Jack.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hope you guys are all getting your Irish on today in whatever way you seem possible.
Top of the morning.
It's like the Irish say on St. Patrick's Day, everyone is Irish except the English.
The English.
So yeah, actually, have you know, St. Patrick's Day is a I love St. Patrick's Day for a number of reasons. Obviously, some of my heritage as well, but it also marks the sixth year today since my wife had her surgery to save her life. Yeah, so she had her surgery on St. Patty's Day, so it's always a nice little celebration. And my buddy Dave, you guys know Dave. I think some of people listening might even know Dave. He's actually upstairs right now, hanging out with us tonight, having a few.
That's the guy that beat up beers. The field guy.
No. Dave's my buddy who is in Indiana Jones.
Oh, the stuntman.
And the stuntman guy. Yeah, he's upstairs having a couple of drinks with us. But because he was
he made fun of Matt, right, for being.
Oh, that was
H.C. White.
I don't know. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah,
it wasn't me. Yeah, I remember that. That was a long time ago.
I wasn't on that show.
That was you.
No, I wasn't on that show.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyways, he was hanging out with us because he actually was here 6 years ago. It was actually the day after we beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And
no, wait, time out. That's when the Seattle Seahawks beat themselves in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Anyways, he was with us when we got the call, and it was St. Patrick's Day. And I remember it was a blizzard. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. He was with us when we got the call the day after the Super Bowl. So he's kind of been with us the entire, you know, he was with us throughout the entire journey. My wife's going through her surgeries and everything. And he was also there, obviously, on the day of the surgery, which is St. Patty's Day. So he and my buddy Tom took me out for a bunch of beers while my wife was in surgery. I don't know how appropriate that might sound, but it made sense because it was St. Patrick's Day and I was in Boston and it was literally two doors down from the hospital was the Irish pub. So it's like a tradition. We get together every year ever since and have a few. So yeah, it's a good day. It's a really good day.
What about your love child?
That's what I was thinking too.
Okay, so let's give a quick little update from last week. So I told the nice heartwarming story that you guys all I shouldn't have expected anything less than what occurred.
When have we ever had the chance to tell our stories?
No, absolutely. Because if it was Matt telling the story, it would have been the same fucking thing coming from me. So I appreciate respect.
It literally was.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate and respect the shit that you all collectively had given me. Because at the end of the day, it was pretty funny. But fast forward. So Bettina was listening. Mm. She was listening to the show last week and she recalled the stories just as I told them. And we've had a little update from those who didn't listen last week. The short version is I reconnected with one of the closest friends I had when I was 16 years old, 17 years old. that I haven't talked to in 20 something years.
Reconnection, and it feels so good.
Yeah, so good. You know, it really is. So we've reconnected. We've gone back and forth on, you know, Instagram chats as well as in emails. And she did send me an email the other day. I have not responded, so I don't know if you're listening this week, but I will get back to you, I promise. But it has just been such a great reconnection. And it's almost like if we hit pause on our conversation back in 1998, 97, whenever it was, and just hit play. And it's been that great. So it's everything I could have hoped a reconnection could be, for sure.
That's it?
What? That's it? What are you looking for, Nick?
I thought that was the intro. Like, Jack's talking about the love child. And you're like, speaking of the love, you know, speaking of the story.
I didn't want to say it, but I thought there'd be more, too.
Yeah, I did, too. I thought, like,
that was kind of like a big deal.
I'm expecting, like, her to be like, sorry, listen to the episode. Very good,
she actually made fun of you guys a little bit after the fact, too. Yeah. But
if you don't say it to my face, it doesn't mean anything.
We'll have to get her on sometime that she can tell her side. It's been awesome. It's one of those situations where I had no idea what was going to happen, but it's just a true testament to that whole, if you're thinking about somebody or if you have something come across your mind, take an extra second. In this case, take many extra seconds and make the step of reaching out and saying hello to somebody, because it could, you know, it could mean the world to somebody else.
Hello? I'm just thinking of Jack thinking about Kathy Ireland. Is it me you're looking for?
Yeah, I've reached out to her. She's just ignored me.
I'm assuming as much.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Kathy Ireland.
Oh, yeah, Kathy. Yeah,
I was just thinking, like you were saying, like if you take those moments to think about someone.
I follow her on Twitter, but
she's not following you back.
No.
If you follow us on Instagram, I did share this photo that was kind of like a visual pun of our names. Someone thought that I was saying that they take up too much of the show. That's not what I was meaning by it. But I thought you'd like the fact that it was Christmas in Boston.
I didn't get the Christmas reference. Are you referencing because the fact that I posted about it snowing?
No, your name, you go by Chris in Boston, and the closest I could get to that is Christmas in Boston.
Can I say something? Sherry pointed out that I was wrong. And like she said, first time ever.
Join the club, Sherry.
It was Jay he was making fun of.
Oh.
And now I do remember it. It was Jay. That he was making fun of someone being pasty white. It was Jay.
I knew that it was. Oh, right.
Yes, yeah. That was Jay.
That was before my time.
We know, Matt, because the show was good back then.
It was probably a lot better back then. So, and at least talked a lot more about toys. So,
yeah, Fisher Protocol he's right on that. The power of the 25th anniversary SI issue cannot.
Oh my goodness, that SI issue is fantastic.
I have it's where she's wearing a yellow bikini, I believe. If I remember correctly,
I think it's green.
It's green. I thought it was yellow.
I can't respond in the chat. It pisses me off.
Well,
I could be wrong, but I thought it was yellow.
If there's only a machine that we could all look this up and make sure everybody's wrong about it. I
don't want to be wrong twice in one night.
Before we get to our versus results, I wanted to say that the craziest thing happened to me a week ago. You know, we record on Wednesday nights.
We had a versus.
We're just calling it. Calling it now. Shit. So
just spilled my beer.
Oh, well, there goes your lucky charm.
Magically delicious.
You only had one beer for the night, and that's it. Your wife's not gonna allow you to have another one.
I don't know where it goes at.
I had the weirdest dream last week ago. After our show. It was so intense. I met a girl,
she was forever in blue jeans.
No,
was it about Chris's friend?
No, I was in this garage and I was conducting this experiment with light bulbs, lining them up in some way that created like this fusion reactor, and it created this like energy machine. And before it got like kind of overwhelmed, I like knocked one of the light bulbs off to break the circuit. And as it fell to the ground, it was like full of like this force field that just kind of ate away at the cement. I go out into the backyard. I'm at my cousin's house in Ohio. And there in the sky, it's at night. I can see these UFOs. No, there's like these UFOs in the sky, but I could see how they, like the mechanism of how they basically disguised themselves to us. It was kind of like this emanating, you know, kind of like almost like this blur effect that was happening in the sky that like kind of blurred them out. And as I'm looking at them, it's like they realize I'm noticing them. And they put this beam of light down on my hand and it's tracking me. And I'm looking at this beam of light. Okay, follow me on this. And as I'm staring at this beam of light on my hand, I wake up to a beam of light in the room. And it's the light on our fan. From the
dead people next door.
No. It's the light on our fan. So we have this...
Wait, light on your fan?
Yeah, so we have this fan in our room. And there's this purple light, this on light from it. And as I wake up, I'm staring at that light. Like I'm staring right into that blue light. And it was like I didn't open my eyes at all. It was almost like I just kind of came to staring at
mind's eye.
So it was really crazy.
And that's when you realized how time travel is possible.
I think I was given some Elon Musk blueprints. Mm-hmm. Like maybe he was supposed to get these and I got them instead.
When's your stock going? So.
I should have eaten this prior to your story.
I don't know if it would help. It was a very intense dream where you just kind of feel like you're being chased, and then waking up to seeing that beam of light. So, crazy dream for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That was last week. So I'm hoping not to be abducted this week. So I don't know. It's very strange. So I don't usually have UFO dreams, but I actually drew out kind of what it looked like because I was just kind of the next morning, I was still kind of thinking about it in my head, like how it worked or how it functioned. So
are you going to show us the drawing or?
I don't actually have the drawing with me. It's upstairs. Jeez. I can get it here in a little bit. So an hour two, the bonus hour. I don't know what Jack and Nick are doing. I assume
Fisher Protocols wanted to point the fact out that shrooms are now legal in the District of Columbia. Nice. So you could go.
That explains a lot of our politicians we got going.
Enact your dreams.
I was going to say, like, taxation without representation, huh?
Have you guys ever had shrooms before?
Tons of times.
Yeah. I have not.
No.
Back in the day.
The worst, the strongest I had was in 2003. I was in Bonnaroo, and the guy I bought them from was from Hawaii, and he gave them to me, and they were, I'm sure they had something on them. I have no idea, but they were orange instead of the usual white and purple. Mm. And he's like, these are really strong. He goes, I don't recommend eating like what you normally eat with these. Of course, I was 22. I didn't give a shit. So I just like, whoa. And I don't know what happened. I don't remember a lot. I just woke up on top of someone's truck the next morning, and it was a good time.
Yes. I did them once in, I think it was like in high school. I think it was high school. Yeah, it was definitely high school. It was like, remember, it was like the graduation party week. You know, like when everyone's having their graduation parties, and it's mm-hmm. like you party hop and go to different houses and stuff. I did them once, and man, what a fucking experience that is!
Like, yeah,
that's you can't describe it. It's well, you certainly can, but you can describe it, but it won't make sense to anybody. But it is something that's incredible, and I'm really interested to see how more and more states are entertaining the idea of microdosing psilocybin, which is the key, you know, chemical in that causes the reaction for you to have that out of body experience in mushrooms. Like psilocybin is being utilized as from a microdosing perspective as a way to treat anxiety, depression, and a number of things. And its early reports are saying it's like super fucking effective.
I can see, yeah, I can see that. Microdosing
right now, and it's working great.
I can see it from a microdosing if you're taking it at a very limited capacity. But like, yeah. I had anxiety, and I had to go see someone to help me fix it. But you know, because mushrooms. Is usually, depending on how much you take, is usually a good half hour of straight paranoia followed by, you know, 2-3 hours of bliss, you know. And so, like, it's that first half hour, though, where you're just like, what the heck is going on? Yeah, dude. You know?
So, you remember slush puppies? You get a slush puppy. It was like a brand of, like, you go to, like, the convenience store, and it was like you get the slush. It was like an icy. There was icy, and there was slush puppy.
I had one last night in a dream. Turned out to be my fan.
So, I remember having the slush puppy and having the dog fucking talk shit to me from the cup.
Oh, you
know, I was just like, yeah, okay. And I remember I actually got
must
to
have
a
had
point,
the pina colada.
Yeah, I got to a point where that paranoia definitely did settle in, Nick. And it took me to ripping shots of whiskey to get myself to like throw up.
Huh.
And when I threw up, I felt like a fucking million.
Did you throw up on the dog?
Probably, yeah.
If you're gonna spew into the
piss, man.
Just imagining like a little.
No, but like with the back to the microdosing thing, real quick. I mean, it's not necessarily in a sense being used to make you have like the same, you know, out of body experience that you have when you eat like an eighth of shrooms. Right. It's actually meant to trigger specific, you know, passageways in your brain to kind of like unlock and relieve,
right,
certain areas of stress. And it's fascinating. I love seeing all this, you know. Things that were deemed as like taboo and quite frankly like a sin back when we were kids are now being utilized for legitimate purposes. So it's actually kind of cool. Hell yeah, modern medicine.
I remember though, because you know, just like loving the 60s and reading about a lot of the artists and things like that. I remember though being at a concert one time on shrooms that were really potent. And that was the first time, you know, people always talk about, like, I saw God. You know, I remember the first time going, like, this is what it's like. You know, this had to be what that person was talking about in this moment. Because it's just weird when all of a sudden just every molecule in your body is just buzzing, you know, and, like, mm-hmm. everything around you just – because, like, you're getting this huge euphoria around you. If it's like
your senses are amplified. Like, every one of your senses. Yeah.
And you're locked into every single thing. You know, I mean, drugs, I never say like people should do drugs, but if you do them, you should do them for the right reasons. You know, like, why are you trying to do this? And it's like Chris just said, it unlocks parts of your brain. You know, sometimes people go overboard because they get into like Sid Barrett type parts, you know, where you just do too much acid and then it fries your brain. But it does. It just opens up, knocks the spider webs out. You know, or whatever you want to call it, you know, the cobwebs out of your brain, and it does it unlocks rooms. But, you know, Matt right now with his dream, yeah, you know, he was dropping a little acid. Yeah,
I've not dropped acid. I've never dropped acid. And the times that I did,
you don't want to drop it, right?
The times that I did do shrooms a long time ago, it was something that like the first time I did it, similar to weed, it didn't really hit me. It was actually like the third time where it was just like, holy cow. Like, and I think it was during the middle of winter and there had been an ice storm. And I remember going on a walk.
A hazy shade of winter.
Looking at the ice on just that was like around a tree, you know, or laughing at this cat. This cat was just like looking at me.
The cat got the last guy's revenge.
Was it just the teeth?
Was it just the teeth that kind of disappeared? You know, was it pink and purple stripe?
I think it was the fact that it was just so random and it was my own thoughts that were kind of setting me off. And so, I mean, the mind can definitely play tricks on you.
Oh, maybe that was in Drake's brownie. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, I've never
Jack
felt
took,
like that. I've never
took
felt
a three
like
hour
that.
Shower. I mean,
in 15 minutes.
It was like, so like Kim 15 in the, seconds.
Yeah, Kim in the chat was mentioning, Kim in the chat mentions that, you know, she's one who has anxiety and the only things that actually really work for her She actually referred to it as street drug. You can't call it that anymore. Call it anymore. Because you can buy that in the stores now. The only thing that worked for her was weed.
Can't buy that here.
Is a fantastic, fantastic thing. And I'm not even one. I'm not one to say like, oh, I want to go home and get like stoned. Like that's not what I do. Like you talk about the micro dosing aspect of it. Like I have, my edibles are all 5 milligrams, which are the perfect amount just to give you like it to equate it to like, you know, how, affected are you by it. I would equate it to having like a 6-pack of beer and how level of drunk you get. That's about how the level of and it's so different.
Matt, hard, one
to,
beer.
hard to compare, but like you're not like incapacitated in that sense. But the good part about having the 5 milligrams is that you can easily take 2 if you really want to kind of elevate that experience a little bit more. But there's so many good and really beneficial aspects of the legalization of some of these formerly known as street drugs, because they do have such a – oh, Matt just got excited.
No, I'm just always surprised when Jack switches up his backdrop.
Especially with Star Wars. You got a little Star Wars boner.
He got a little wood there.
He did.
Yeah. Little is a key word.
There's so much benefit behind it. So like that's the point I was trying to make earlier is I'm glad to see that the science is looking at things like psilocybin and has already looked at and approved things like, you know, THC to help with a variety of different things. So
yeah, I mean,
hopefully
I
think, it's coming to a state near you.
I mean, I'm me being the way I am. I mean, I've always, if it's a victimless crime or a victimless thing, then it's not really a crime. So if I'm smoking weed or doing mushrooms, I'm not hurting anybody but myself, you know? So it's like, why should it not be legal? You know, it's just my opinion, but it's, you know,
and that's just it, Nick, too. Like, you know, you think about it, weed doesn't even hurt the individual. I mean, unless you're smoking it, cause then you have the inherent, you know, drawbacks of smoking anything. But there's
that Seth Rogen laugh.
Yeah, but there's so many different ways to administer nowadays that you don't need to smoke.
He's got the smoker's laugh.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You don't have to smoke. So like the accessibility of healthier alternative ways of administering are all out there, and it's quite frankly awesome. It's probably one of the better things of the 21st century that we've kind of progressed with in this country. Mm-hmm.
Sidebar, when they were making the Ten Commandments, why didn't God say slavery is wrong?
There were 15.
Like, out of all of them.
Because King James wouldn't have been able to benefit from it.
It's like, no. I mean, they could have just like solved a lot. Like, you know, like, hey, no human should own another human. Just saying.
Dude, all right, so I have to make a decision right now with you guys. I know this is a controversial topic. Do we or do we not bring up the Catholic religion this week?
I never met a priest I didn't like.
Namely, the Vatican.
Oh, and there it said.
I'm not Catholic, so I don't care.
So, as of 2 days ago, neither am I.
Well, I can't believe a lot of people are still Catholic.
So
even though my whole family's Catholic.
So I guess the answer to my question is yes, we are going to continue this conversation. Or do you think this is too alienating, or is this it's a sensitive topic because religion and faith.
I don't blame the people. You can't blame people that.
Absolutely not.
But it's just they're not going to give up the Catholic Church.
So
all churches are about.
What's interesting about that, Jack, is I'm curious to see, and only time will tell, you know, what will the financial impact be with the statements that came out of the Vatican this week. And for those listening,
it's the same thing as politicians. It's similar, because if you go back and watch all these politicians that, it's between a man and woman, man and woman, man, then when it went from being under 50% to over 50%, people... Oh yeah, suddenly they had a change of heart. It's going to be the same thing with the Catholic Church. If they start seeing a loss in revenue, then they will change it.
I think they're going to see a couple of things, right? I think they're going to see a loss of revenue, but I also think there's going to be an uptick in the overcharged emotions of the folks who actually are still aligned with that viewpoint that the Vatican has. And I think there's going to be an increase of anti-LGBTQ plus sentiment out there that's going to feel justified, a la the American society of the last 4 years feeling justified going and doing the things that they did in the name of their leader. So it scares me, quite honestly. And I woke up that morning and I went to work and I saw that headline and I felt like complete fucking shit for a couple of hours. Because I mean, I don't think I've ever talked about this before, maybe briefly, but I grew up, I was brought up as a Catholic. I was, you know, first communion, baptized, CCD, confirmation, the whole thing. And I haven't for the last 20 years or so really practiced religion in the sense of like gone to church and the other thing, but I've had like a residual level of faith, you know, around me in one way or another. And I can tell you that as of what I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago, I personally have cut any ties for me with the religion I was once a part of, because after the Pope had said that, you know, all children are God's children and so forth and so on, the Catholic Church and Vatican came out and said that they would not bless same-sex marriages and it was considered a sin. And I think that is the fucking worst thing the church has done in a couple hundred years. Like not including, you know, things they did to children and look the other way. But like I couldn't fucking believe it.
Covered it up.
Yeah, and I had a moment where I was like, God, this is something. I say God because, you know, that's just, you know, whatever. I can't believe that this is actually happening in real life, in real time. It really blew me away, and I have officially I'm not a Catholic anymore. I'm done. Like I haven't been religious.
Don't you have to go to like special classes to be not be a Catholic anymore? Do you have
probably? To, but fuck it. Like, I mean, because
the Catholic Church is pretty intense.
Yeah, you're going to be excommunicated. Are you okay
with
that?
That's fine. Yeah, fuck them. Like I'm done. Like, you know, it's unbelievable. And
there's going to be Catholic bounty hunters after you, man.
But here's the thing, and I feel badly about saying a lot of these
little leprechauns.
Because there's a lot of people. there's a lot of people who don't feel as strongly as I do, but don't feel that they don't agree with the church, that are still aligned with the church. And this is nothing against people who are continuing their faith. You have your own choice to do whatever you want. I personally could not align myself with the statements that came out of that church this week.
That's what's interesting about America, I think, in a lot of ways, and how we look at these things, because like, you're obviously, because you and I are the only two like true Irish of ancestry here. You know, you're French and Swiss, Jack. You know it. And we got the German over there in the upper left corner.
I'm English.
You don't know me.
But, you know, like obviously your forefathers or great grandparents that came over were from the lower Ireland that was mostly Catholic. My family, there are Midland people. Which probably you're were Catholics.
Southern Ireland.
I'm from Dunn's. The Dunn name is from the middle of the Ireland. But my mom's side, her family was all from Northern Ireland, so they were Protestants. You know, so it's one of those things like, where did it, you know, which way did it sway you? But the more, you know, I get into a lot of discussions with Southerners and Americans, things like that with religion, you know, we're not close to doctrine like, you know, like a lot of other people who are deeply religious are. You know, we're very, like even our founding fathers were not people of religion, you know, like George Washington, all those guys were more transcendentalists or more deity people of like, as in like, we just believe in nature.
They
we
were
believe
dentists, in... you said?
they weren't like strict, like Catholics, you know, or like where it's like, this is a written law. You know, it was like, hey, like it's all up to your interpretation, which is why
I was told it was John Kennedy was the first. That's what I was always no. Sold. That was John Kennedy.
Well, he was the first Catholic. That's true. Elected president, yeah.
And look where that got him.
Is he also the last president that was Catholic?
Biden's Catholic.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Biden is the first Catholic president since JFK.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And look what it did to your faith.
Yeah, that's why I said, that's why I said he's not.
To the core.
Biden said, I'm not going to Dallas. He said that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And Sherry in the chat is saying that she's 100% Irish. So,
hey!
Yeah.
Congrats. I love Ireland.
Explains why she's drunk half the time.
Explains why she likes to see us shit on each other.
So, that's kind of cool. So Sherry mentioned two brothers met two sisters. Hopefully they were of separate families, which I appear they are.
They came across the Titanic.
Met two sisters in the boat from Ireland to America and ended up marrying each other and living within a mile of each other. That's awesome. Very cool.
You know what also interrupts this entire podcast within a mile? Commercial break.
I mean, are you happy? All right. This is like your first time to actually.
I know. I was trying to get it in before Chris.
Yeah, you were like, he was trying to throw it out there to throw a bone to all of us to like say, hey, that's time for a break. We just let you hang out to dry with that. We're like, yeah, okay, finish your joke. and then you realize mid joke that it wasn't funny.
I think we have to take another commercial break after this message.
I love you, man.
He did have that look. He's like going.
He's like, hey.
Why is no one going to interrupt me now?
I guess it's not Christmas in Boston.
I'm just saying. we've talked drugs and religion now, so I guess now we have to talk about sex, right? Because
yeah, let's do it.
We got to. So how was rekindling? Sex. With this woman after 25 years.
For fuck's sake. you know, it's funny. So, okay. All right. I'll share this.
I didn't hear a denial.
I did not.
Depends on what the definition of is.
So the funny story though, is this is I'll share this little clip and then we'll move on to another story. Cause I feel like this has been beaten down pretty hard. But the
that's what she said.
Yeah, that's fucking awful. So, anyways, so I found out what you guys had named the show after it had posted. And I was like, you fucking assholes. So I immediately messaged her. I was like, so hey, I'm like, just in case you check out the show and post,
remember to deny.
I go, these assholes named the show, and I wasn't a part of it, and I want you to know that did not come from me. And she's like, no, but that's fucking funny. I alliterated. I put those words in. She goes, no, but I think she said, no, but I really did need to laugh. So it made her laugh in the time that she needed to laugh, which is good.
That's what we're here for.
But she said, and then she also followed and said, I know you would never say something like that, which I wouldn't, so...
Not on air. Not on air.
Oh, Christ.
Plausible deniability.
Christ. Yeah. I thought you gave up Christ.
That's why I can say the name in vain.
Yeah, I can say it in vain and say, fuck it all.
If you really want to be ballsy about it, you say God's bones.
God's bones? Yeah, why?
God's bones. Well, that's what's that? We talked about this at one point, but it was an old time curse. It was
that's a call.
That was going to be in our Netflix series till you fucked it up.
Speaking of things that fucked it up by, disrespecting Jesus, let's get to those covers of the Beatles songs, huh?
Let's
break for a commercial.
No, we already done that.
Great.
All right.
See, it somehow, even though it didn't fucking work, it was funny.
Randy says God's collarbone. Yeah. I know both.
God's collarbone is in three places.
Randy, congratulations.
That's got to be the title of the episode.
You have named the episode of this week. This week's episode has to be God's collarbone.
By the way,
God's collarbones.
You know, John. You know, John and Kim seem to be the only people in the chat that seem to care about like my collarbone or my injury. Now they're like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Oh God, dude, it happened a month ago. Move on. Stop
milking it.
Jeez, your shit's half healed already. So fucking move on. Let's talk about the Beatles.
You can put your jeans on by yourself now. You don't need help.
You're right. I can. Fine. That's fine. Whatever. Moving on. I just was going to say that it's weird now as things heal that where the stitches, ooh, right? Mm-hmm. One side super sensitive, like the skin's like super sensitive. The other side super numb. And then along the ridge where the nerves were cut, it's like I have this burning sensation. So every now and then I'm like, oh, it feels
are
like
you still talking you know about that is. Collarbone?
No, I think he's talking about something else.
You talking about the chlamydia, or are you talking about your collarbone?
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering what bone you're talking about. Super sensitive in some spots, super numb in other places, and it burns.
Burns.
Okay. Why do you keep screaming when you're peeing?
Every time I raise my hand, it burns.
Okay, fine. All right, so the Beatles, the best cover of a Beatles song. Clearly, this is not by the people that voted. You guys suck. Thanks for everybody that voted for my song, which came in last.
You can thank them personally.
With 6 votes. Well, I mean, let's face it. Like, you know, the people that really...
Six votes in 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, but Matt Treist is one of those votes, and I feel like he is somebody that really...
He just made a mistake. His name's Matt.
All right, We Can Work It Out by Stevie Wonder came in with 6 votes. Just barely beating out last place was Here Comes the Sun, performed by Nina Simone with 7 votes. Hmm. Both of these songs, highly overlooked by the other groups here that just completely focused on While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which came in with 32 votes. And The Monster, the one that everybody just seems to associate with Wonder Years, and if it wasn't for Wonder Years, nobody would give a shit about the song. With a little help from my friends, performed by Joe Cocker with 67 votes. Wins the day. Even won the Twitter poll that I put out as well. So
yeah, but we could have predicted. I think we did predict that. That's exactly
yeah,
what was
going on. JPEG. Yeah.
So, yeah, we did.
Jimi Hendrix also did a pretty good.
What did Jay vote for?
Sergeant Pepper.
Did Jay vote?
I don't know. I wasn't looking for Jay's
because he usually votes. Because I've noticed he usually votes for the winner.
Oh yeah,
I think he waits to see how the voting's going, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm pasty white. So, I'm going to do this." Speaking of Catholics, Jay.
So while we pull this up, so I know at least one, maybe two of us in this right now may have listened to or watched something I recommended for you guys to watch on Instagram over this past week with Christian James Hand.
Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of some grading, so
I thought I had COVID this weekend, so I had
seriously
I went and had I even got the test which I just found out today. My wife found out because I had all the symptoms. I was like Friday I was just chills and I felt like shit. Now, I've been taking two my grandkids were sick all week, though, too. And I was just like, I was all congested. My wife kept waking. Are you breathing? Huh? Because I was trying to get some sleep. So we finally went and get the little test. And she got hers the next day. I had to call today. And they're asking me all these questions. I go, and I knew it was negative. But I said, well, I might as well, because I felt better. But I might as well find out. And it was negative. Had the flu or something. But I can't imagine having COVID as bad as I felt. Like Saturday, I felt like absolute shit. I think because we're supposed to have the Glatfelter boys over, and I had to cancel on, which I felt bad. They're supposed to spend the night.
Glad that you are not.
And I did. We did have to cancel the leftover rewatch because I said there's no way I can do it.
Yeah,
but now I feel good.
Well, that's good. So what I was mentioning was,
I felt so bad. I said, you know what? I'm going to give up the Catholic. I'm not going to be a Catholic anymore.
There you go.
I just said, fuck it. I ain't doing
fuck
it.
Fuck religion.
Not hiding any of these choir boys anymore. Come on.
Yeah. So Nick, I think you had a chance to listen to it. So what I'm referring to, just for those who are listening on the show who obviously are not in our chat, but there's this music producer, drummer, sound technician. His name is Christian James Hand. Christian James Hand. He has a radio segment he does out in LA and also an IG live where he takes a song. He has all the original stem tracks from all these crazy songs and from the studio, and he breaks down the song essentially track by track by track and then rebuilds the song one track at a time. pointing out things you may or may not have heard or understood about the song, and telling some really crazy, entertaining stories along the way, because he has tons of them for being in the music
industry. Is he on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Is he on shrooms when he's doing
it? No, he's a pretty serious guy.
Pretty serious dude. And he's super, super smart when it comes. Like he's got this musical brain that I can't even wrap my head around of how he can interpret things and understand things. But he also
You told all of us this?
Yeah, yeah, he messaged us.
I thought he did check this out. I know he sent Jay and I and Matt. Yeah.
So the really impressive thing is, well, how well he does translating that to the people who don't have that level of knowledge. So his ability to understand, to explain to his viewers how these things work out and how songs are built is actually really impressive, because I have been obsessed with listening to him now. I'm listening to old, the radio station KLOS in Los Angeles. Has had him on every Monday morning to break down a song. And they have since then re-released all of these segments that he did in podcast form that you can download. But his IG Live is only live. You can't go back and play it again, I'm assuming, probably because of copyright.
For people that aren't hip, it's Instagram Live. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Instagram Live. He broke down A Day in the Life by the Beatles most recently. And Nick, you had a chance to watch it. Just curious to what your thoughts were.
I thought it was terrible.
First, I want to acknowledge the elephant in the room, that Randy points out a very good point, that maybe Chris just sent it to the Owen and Baruse thread instead of the Ramblecast thread, so Jack, I left out.
Entirely possible.
I don't remember any of this.
That's actually likely.
Yeah.
Fuck Jack!
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. You know, to me, it was one of those... I live in an ADHD world to where it's like, okay, I get it. Move on. You know, I mean, I still thought it was really cool, because like he does dwell on a lot of stuff for a long period of time, but I did enjoy it. Like I liked at the very end of A Day in the Life, the last piano strike of just the doom, you know, like I always have loved that. And I always thought, like a lot of people, that's just someone just striking a piano really hard. And it's not. It's like this, it's just tons of tracks on top of each other with different instruments that make that sound. The same as like, because if he opened up with, Hard Day's Night, for example, that opening chord is actually three different instruments playing different chords, but all together at one time make out this one particular chord. And so it's just interesting. It's interesting to see someone break it down track by track, to hear, like, you know, because when I tuned in to the Day in the Life one, he was talking about Ringo just doing the drum track, for example. You know, and so you're really hearing no bass, no kick drum, just literally just Ringo just, you know, it really is, unless you really love a song or really appreciate music, you're not going to get it. But like when you hear it and then you slowly build it, you know, like you hear the scratch vocal of Lennon in the background, like you barely hear, you know, I read the news today. Oh, you barely hear it. You know, there's little things, just the guy, you know, and so it is interesting to hear it, you know, and then with John just doing the very simple jing, 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 you know, the rhythm guitar, and then Paul playing the piano. It's like, it's just an interesting way.
Layer everything on top of each other, it turns into this whole fucking like cacophony, right? But one of the coolest things that I learned while watching that was, you know, the right at the end of that first, like the orchestral, like build up, which by the way, 40 person orchestra literally sitting behind John and Paul, which is incredible. But right at the end of that, right when he says, and I wake up and get out of bed, like that whole part of the song, you hear the alarm clock ringing.
Yeah.
I always thought that was just like a catchy little, like, you know, interlude into the new second verse or whatever. But that is an actual alarm clock that the Beatles had used in the studio to count 24-beat timer for the orchestra, but they couldn't erase it from the track, and it just stayed in. But it fit precision perfect with the beat of the song, and they kept it in, and it sounds like it's an afterthought, but it's actually part of the production of the song, which I think is incredible.
I was with him on that, though, that I thought that was completely full of shit.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it, I don't know if that's true.
Because, like, how do you set an alarm clock to go off at exact time? You know, because, like, that was one of those where especially those old, you know, round ones with the bells on it. Like, I didn't believe that one bit, because there's always different accounts from different people of like who created something, who thought of something, who did this. And I've read so many books about Paul and John and George and all that, you know, because I always recall, like I said before, that
he didn't write any books.
I don't read Ringo books. peace and love. Peace and love. You know, because Paul had visited L.A. in December of 66 to visit Brian Wilson during the Smile Sessions. And Brian was
shrooms.
Yeah, Brian was experimenting with real sounds in music. So he was doing stuff like that, like eating a carrot to have that crunch sound, to, you know, having alarm clocks going off, to having all these real sounds be placed into music to have like these random effects. And so Paul was actually sat in on a song called Vegetables, where he actually did some of those real effects. And on the flight back to London is where he got the idea for Sgt. Pepper of like, oh, let's have a track that leads into another track, because that's what Brian was doing. And so to me, it makes more sense for them to say like, hey, let's have this little bit here that's like all about getting up in the morning. Let's have an alarm clock to say like, hey, I woke up, fell out of bed. It makes more sense to do that.
Dolphin Papers making a splash on IG, says Randy. Yeah.
Randy would know. He follows Dolphin Papers on Instagram.
So
I do.
All in all, the idea of his show is actually very, very interesting. The cool thing is he's friends with a lot of musicians, and he brings people in to talk. And I think he and John Mayer are actually trying to bring this show to Netflix, but they got denied. But anyways, if you're interested in hearing
that show up too? Copyrights, right? So many.
The bots came in. I was watching him do Peter Gabriel, and the bots started kicking him off because like as he layers more onto the song, it gets recognized by the automated bots. Mm. But as an example, one thing to check out, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, beautiful song. Always loved it. Danced to many girl in eighth grade to that song. But did you know there's 17 tracks of different instruments on that song?
Wait, are you going to reach out? Are you going to in eighth grade? There was a girl. Have you reached out to her?
Nope. So
what happened? Take a second. You've been preaching this for like 6 months now. Reach out and. You're not going to reach out to this girl in eighth grade? Why?
I don't remember who it was.
Chris is like, fuck that noise. I'm trying to make a point here about Peter Gabriel.
Actually, in Jack, the one who I remember is actually dead.
Oh.
So.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
There you go. Drugs are bad. Except the ones we talked about earlier, because those are fun.
Come back.
True story. So, anyways, he's actually live right now. So if you want to check it out, yeah, you can see.
What's his name? Because I never got the link. So
on Instagram, it's The Session IG Live. That's his Instagram page. Also, if you're interested in if you don't watch it live, you can't catch it. But if you want to go back on your podcast feed, you can do a search for the FHF Studio Session with Christian James Hand. Again, those are 22-minute podcasts that are actual clips from on-air radio at KLOS. So you'll hear the commercials.
So this guy was an older person, right?
He's in his 50s, but he's very well versed, pun intended, in the music industry.
He's as old as Matt and I.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But he's toured the country. He tells crazy, crazy stories about like with Lenny Kravitz and Peter Gabriel and all these guys. Such an entertaining listen. I highly recommend it. So check it out if you're looking.
So is he like Peter? What's it? Peter? Is it Peter Noon who does the Beatles? He's on the Beatles Network on a satellite.
Yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah.
He has some wild. He's got some wild stories.
Yeah, I listened to Big Steve of the Grateful Dead. Man, like he's got those guys are they lived a life.
Oh yeah.
Say that much. But yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun. I'd love to hear. Yeah. So Fisher Procol says a show called Song Exploder, hosted by the guy who does West Wing, Rishi Hira, or what's his name? Same idea, but here's the interesting thing. So I don't know. Again, this depends on who you talk to. Supposedly, Christian James Hand had the idea first, went to Netflix. They said no. And then they went and brought the idea to West Wing, dude. So. There's some animosity, I believe, behind the scenes of that. I think this guy is, I know Rishi is a super smart dude, but this guy is a fucking musical genius. Give him a listen, you'll see for yourself.
It's the same as like, it sounds like Element or whatever it was, that Sherlock-esque show that came out on Elementary. Yeah, like BBC, you know, did Sherlock, and they wanted to do the same thing in America, and Stephen Moffat said no, and so they just said, "Oh, fine, we'll do our own one," and called it Elementary. And like,
mm-hmm. My wife loved that show.
I wasn't judging the show. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it was good. I said she watches a lot of bad television.
every time I think of Lucy Liu, though, who was on that show, I think of Bill Murray, because Bill Murray and her hated each other, because and during Charlie's Angels, Bill Murray basically told her she can't act, and it was one of those moments to where they never were on set together because it was such a uproar.
It's funny. I always think of her from the movie Get Carter. No, not Get. Mm-hmm. Is it Get Carter? The Payback. Sorry. The payback.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. The Payback. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. That's I don't know why it's Get Carter.
Is that Mel Gibson?
Payback? Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mel Gibson, yeah.
There was another Versus.
We had
floated around. Good Catholics. There was another idea for a Versus that we floated around. Are we going to do that? You guys
want
to?
If you want.
What was that?
Best trilogy.
Oh, you guys were serious about that?
I just threw it out there, but we don't.
I'm just fucking with you.
That's why he got his Star Wars background ready to go. He wants
to
pick Star
Wars. He's doing Free Willy. Everyone knows that's the best trilogy.
Free Willy again in Freer Willy.
I mean, at that point, if the orca keeps getting caught, I mean, at that
it's
point,
it's not him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe he just wants to go back to the establishment.
Whatever happened to that kid from Free Willy? I mean, he was.
I don't know.
Did Michael Jackson? I know he did the song.
Chris, you were going to say something.
Yeah, so I was saying, who should do the dice roll this week? I know we did not trust Matt to do it last time.
Well, you did it last time. You were fine.
I'm cool with doing it if you guys want me to. Let me just pull up the old dice rolling website here.
So the bigger question is do we include Star Wars or do we not? I mean, it's technically a trilogy, but now it's
not. You can't leave.
There's three trilogies. Yeah. You know,
certain movies
that would make Jack so happy if we just pick the prequel trilogy, the original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy
against Godfather.
I've seen
against the Godfather.
there's so many arguments against the Godfather trilogy. You kidding me?
I mean, the bigger question is like, so certain movies, do they count as a trilogy if there's four movies? Like for instance, the Indiana Jones, right? Like Indiana Jones 1.
Disqualified. It's not a trilogy.
So then how is Star Wars not disqualified?
I consider Indiana Jones a trilogy, but because you have the trilogy, and then you have the other movie.
We have the power, gentlemen. We have the ability right now to call it. So
can I just say that the lucky you're not on Facebook, because that thread is going to just be a clusterfuck.
Oh yeah.
Well, this last one with the Beatles
they're going to tee it up. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to tee it up.
Well, there's really only a handful of like, if we're talking about solid trilogies, you know. So solid
trilogy. So here's the thing: I wouldn't consider Star Wars a trilogy.
Can Rocky be a trilogy?
Because they went up to like five and beyond.
It's true.
Let's
mix it up a little bit. Let's just say any movie that had three
in
or
order.
More.
You can't just be like, you know, like I want Rocky 1, 2, and 5. You know, like he has to be like,
you know, like Star Trek.
By that statement, and then if you choose Star Wars, you are embracing every Star Wars movie as part of your pick.
Yes, yeah, I think that's how it should be.
So you're saying
that's a series. Then you're saying a series because
movie franchise.
The three movie franchise. So we have a debate about this. This is a whole versus in itself. So like, should we consider, like, if you going by the train of thought that, like, if you're going to go ahead with three or more movies to a series, if you're going to embrace Star Wars as your pick, then you have to own episodes 1 through whatever the fuck.
Nine.
You'd have to embrace all 9.
I thought there were 10.
Right? Or if you wanted to pick Indiana Jones as your trilogy,
you have to pick the loser.
You have to embrace the Crystal Skull as
this part changes of everything.
Yeah, yeah, because this becomes a series as opposed to a trilogy. Because I think of a trilogy as three movies, very specific.
Skip the trilogy and call it movie franchise.
That's a whole other versus.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's less confusing.
I don't think. I mean, because to me, it's like let's just take Rocky because you brought it up. I think Rocky 1, 2, and 3 is a trilogy because it actually follows a linear pattern, whereas in Rocky 4 is a clear break from 1, 2, and 3.
All right,
you know, he saved the world.
All right, so then we can agree on this then. If the trilogy happens to be in its own self-sustaining arc, then it could be a part of a multiple more than three movies, we will consider it as a trilogy. So for the record, you could claim Empire Strikes Back as your trilogy. I'm sorry, not Empire Strikes Back. The Skywalker Saga could be your... No, it's not, Skywalker Saga is like sixth movie.
No, it's either original trilogy, prequel trilogy, or sequel trilogy.
Okay. You just pick one of the...
One. Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Because if I pick Lord of the Rings, I don't want the fucking Hobbit trilogy thrown in my trilogy.
There. Okay. So we will be.
Oh my God. I like the Hobbit trilogy.
And we wonder why things can't get done in Washington.
And we can debate the efficacy of whether or not one trilogy is a single arc or not live in the moment, and we can shit on you for it.
By the way, Jaws 4 is way better than Jaws 3. Just saying. Hey,
Jaws 3D? Are you serious? What?
All right. Okay. Let's do this. Yeah. I got the dice ready to rock. I'm gonna share my screen.
I'm still going with the Hangover. Doesn't matter.
Damn. I'm so scared if I get first pick. Now I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, I know, right? You
know. All right.
I think the winner from the last one should go first.
Okay.
That's fair.
So did you go last,
Matt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Matt, who's going first?
Jack goes Chris.
Yeah. Jack goes Chris.
Jack, me, Nick, Matt.
Yep.
Jack gets a one. I get a four.
How convenient.
Nick gets a four. Matt, two.
Two.
All right. Damn. So for first place, Nick is between you and I. So I'll go first. I'll get a four. And Nick gets a six. It's going to go Nick, me, Matt, Jack. Nick, me, Matt, Jack is the order.
This is my nightmare.
It's your nightmare?
Yeah.
It's like because there's so many. I don't want to go first.
This is, ironically, this is also your best of that you thought of.
I know, it's mine, but like I just, you know.
And you're the one that added all the rules to it. So it's like, rules!
I didn't have
a knife fight.
That's a good one.
All right, Nick. You are on the clock, my friend.
No, this is just where we pick. It's not where we shit. This is just where we pick.
So you're on the clock for picking.
Okay.
Your nightmare is going first for this. My nightmare is going last.
Hey, human rain delay. What's going on here?
Pick I'm one. Thinking.
It's I'm he. Thinking. It's a lot of pressure. Hey, by the way, going, I recently watched
like what are they gonna pick?
I recently watched Blade Runner 2049. I liked it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's a bit long.
It's a bit long,
Why'd you throw him off?
I watched it in segments, and I'm trying to buy him time.
I felt with the Blade Runner, the feel of it.
Stop. Make your pick. Fine. Make your pick right now.
All right. I'm going to go with Lord of the Rings.
All right, Jay.
All right.
Do you want to say anything about it?
No, we can do that later.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, I can. Right. I mean, well, you want me to talk? Do you want me to talk or do you want me to just
go?
The game is you make the pick and then you say
campaign why. For it. Yeah, you say why. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So I think Lord of the Rings as a trilogy is the strongest because I would not classify any of the films as solid tens. But they're all solid nines, and that the production, the acting, the way that, because they're all made as one film, all three are equally satisfying, and and the fact that these films, not the films, but the story influenced so many other great trilogies that it's a good film, you know, and a good message. So
nice. So my pick, I immediately chose this pick in my head as I was going through it, and I actually asked my wife and I and Dave, and I said, "Hey,
for permission?"
Yeah, right. So I said, "Hey, my kid, I'm about to do a show, and we're gonna talk. Fuck, and we're gonna talk about the best movie trilogy of all time. Would you say?" And my wife agreed with me. She actually said my pick out
loud. Wait, hold on. Did she know the rules that it could have like 10-12 movies? Yeah, no,
because okay. This one only has three, and it's a traditional trilogy, and that is Back to the Future. Back to the Future is probably my favorite movie. I will say is not only the best, but I will say it's my favorite movie trilogy, and Star Wars is in that conversation, and I'm putting Back to the Future as a trilogy over any of the Star Wars trilogy.
I mean, there's four I had in mind, and the three that you have mentioned were my top three. I mean, it's a hard decision.
It's a very hard decision. I will say that, like, as a kid, I grew up watching Back to the Future. I have such nostalgic memories of going to Pizza Hut with my dad and getting your free pair of Back to the Future 2 sunglasses. That movie series hit so many points for me. Number one, it made me so interested in hearing about the 50s because that's when my parents went to high school, right? So I was obsessed with that. I remember like sitting there and looking through my parents' yearbooks being like, where's McFly? And then, you know, the second movie gave you like all these kids, like kid-like obsession with what the future was to hold. Mm-hmm. And the third one was a fucking Western. Like it literally hit all these amazing like time periods. It is a time-traveling movie. And to this day, I think it's probably one of the most successful, if not the most successful, depiction of time travel and its implications. So I'm going to go ahead and say Back to the Future is my pick.
You guys backed me into a corner here. I came into this with one, like I was thinking, Lord of the Rings is the most complete, but I got to go original trilogy, Star Wars. I mean, it's in my fabric. It's in my if I didn't pick it at this point, you guys didn't pick it. And Back to the Future was in that conversation because it makes me feel
some
fun.
Balls.
Here's the thing, Lord of the Rings. Sometimes it's boring.
Don't feel bad about my pick or yours, because Jack's gonna pick three random episodes of fucking MASH and call it a trilogy. So don't even worry about it. We're going on him anyways.
I'm going with the trilogy that made me. So it's Star Wars original trilogy. So sure, the third one could let you down, but even as my son been watching all of these, you know, he came to me the other day and he said, you know, Dad, you could just watch the three middle movies, the original trilogy, and they just work on their own. They don't need the other ones. And I'm like, and you've arrived, son.
And seen.
You're like, you're almost 11 now. I feel like you've become a man.
I mean, that's why a lot of people now start with episode 4, because you don't have to watch any of the ones to understand it. You get it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, of course, you know, like a lot of people now are starting with Rogue One, like Chris, which makes total sense as well. Yeah. Now, Jack's got the last pick. I think there's only one trilogy that could really throw a monkey wrench in this whole argument.
Well, and I don't think he'll pick it. We had three straight J picks, let's be honest.
True.
I mean, it's like I'm sitting there
thinking, okay. They're all three great.
It doesn't matter what I pick because I'm not going to – I can't win. Let's just face it.
You can't. There's one choice out there that could really resonate with a younger generation.
Can Ghostbusters count because there's been three Ghostbusters?
No, there's only been two Ghostbusters and then some shit film that someone made a few years ago.
I'm not bashing women like you are, Nick.
It's not the same story arc.
It's true. It's true.
But wasn't Bill Murray in the third one?
You know what? If you want to consider three movies, then I will say you can.
If you want to die on that hill, then you go for it.
If you want to own the atrocity that was the most recent.
Let's see which one Jay picks.
Yeah. Wow. That'd be tough.
Wow. That'd be fun.
He's waiting till the last minute.
I could go with The Godfather, but you know, it's not gonna win. Or the Man with No Name trilogy.
Just read Will's comment here.
What'd he say?
The Man with No Name.
Excellent choice. Oh, I just saw that. I'm behind. I don't know. God, Jesus Christ. I can't win. I can't win. The man with Rambo. No, how many Rambos were there? There are like 35 Rambos, right?
You can pick Indiana Jones. You can pick there's some really good ones out there still. There's a lot of trilogies, man.
Indiana Jones too.
This is me. I'm gonna go with The Godfather just because
you can pick the Tremors trilogy.
Wow. So going with The Godfather is like it's owning Godfather 3 is like owning
Hey, wait. It's my turn to
it is.
Talk
it
about
is.
It. It's not your turn to shit on my thing yet.
You're right. I apologize.
Okay, rain delay.
It's human rain delay.
Okay, well, it's human rain delay.
Yeah, you get the Matrix trilogy?
Yeah, I didn't
I'm just see saying there's some one. Other ones out there. There's one that I haven't I said
the
yet,
Blade
but
Blade trilogy? Blade trilogy,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got Alien 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I could go with The Hangover.
Aliens 3 trilogy. Leaves you in a happy place too, you know.
Oh. Yeah, I'm gonna go with The Godfather just because I can't win. So yeah, The Godfather. The first two are just two of the best movies of all time.
Okay, so you're locking it in. You're locking in with The Godfather.
I'm a lock it in with, you know. Go ahead and shit on the
you know what you should have picked. You know what you should have picked.
What?
Should have picked the Toy Story trilogy.
JP, there's the four chat. Of them. Two girls, yeah, one cup trilogy. What the fuck?
Two girls, one cup.
I didn't think about Toy Story because I'll take Toy Story.
No, you can't. Oh,
no. You're locked in. The Godfather, dude.
I mean, you know, that, Toy Story has Godfather references.
Toy
but,
Story
you know.
Was the monkey wrench that could have actually.
That's
given
not. That's
you
what I'm saying. That was the monkey wrench. Because it's a cartoon.
You know what?
It appeals to the younger generation.
I was thinking there was four of them, and I forget the different rules you guys set up. I don't know.
Yep. Toy Story trilogy.
You just fucking lost.
I don't care.
That would have been the J pick was the Toy Story trilogy.
Watch Godfather wins.
Yeah. No. Right.
It doesn't have a chance.
All right, Nick, go ahead. Let's hear what you don't have to say.
The voters don't have taste. Doesn't have a choice.
We're crapping on people now?
Yeah, sure, jump away.
Okay, so I'll just start with Jack because it's the easiest. You can't pick the Godfather trilogy because the one, two, you're absolutely
because
right.
It's a real trilogy?
It's awesome. The third part wasn't even considered to be part of the Godfather. It was called The Death of Michael Corleone. And then it was so panned and so god-awful that he just now recut it 7 years later. It's so awful. I haven't watched it. I'm going to watch the recut version of it, though. Original Star Wars trilogy, great trilogy, but everyone knows that Return of the Jedi is the weakest of the three, and you got freaking teddy bears and all the happy ending, and it's just kind of like, And then Chris picked Back to the Future. Great trilogy. Not really a lot of complaints with it other than, you know, there's some mistakes. Okay, I'm not gonna shit on it. So I like
all right.
It.
So we'll start with the Lord of the Rings. In truth be told, if Back to the Future was picked before mine, Lord of the Rings would be my backup. I will say the one bit of criticism that I can give the Lord of the Rings trilogy is that it could have been 7 hours shorter.
You're not gonna use the Clerks 2 argument.
Let's see what else we have. We had Matt. You had the Star Wars trilogy. Star Wars has a place in my heart that will always be right here, and I will tell you that it's a hard conversation to have. But if you're going to look at the total, writing to production quality, I will tell you this: I don't think Star Wars knew what it had. Until it was over. Like the greatest parts about Star Wars were discovered after the original trilogy were made. I think that the universe expanded 100-fold once the success of that story came. That being said, I will say that there's nothing on this entire panel that's worse than Godfather Part 3. So Jack, your pick is terrible. Godfather Part 3 is literally unwatchable. So you can't have one third of your pick be unwatchable and have it be a solid pick. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay, well, you know, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, although great, it's like really good to put you to sleep too. You can take a nap to it. It's like watching soccer.
You can take a long walk.
And I love soccer, and I love Lord of the Rings, but I like it too because I can just put them on in the background, and I can come back, and they're still fucking walking someplace, and we don't even know fucking where they're walking. I mean, how many bedroom scenes does Frodo have to have? I think he has one in each, you know, single movie. It's like he's in a bed somewhere. Not a single one. So, you know, that's already kind of like. And what really
there was a questionable scene though where all the hobbits come.
What does happen? Hey, that's on them, you know. Yeah. And I appreciate the hobbits for having second breakfast and tons of sausage.
11th season. But...
Yeah. The Catholic Church hated that scene.
Back to the Future could have been a perfect trilogy had they planned out or known exactly how it was going to end. You know, like 2 and 3 are really kind of shoehorned in there, and 2 survives basically on 1. It just reinvents itself. It's kind of like a Xeroxed copy, which I guess you could say Return of the Jedi is a Xerox copy of A New Hope, but you know, bullshit.
True, yeah.
You know,
and then, you know, he tells Marty in the first film to not to mess with the space-time continuum, and then what's he do in the third film? He marries a woman and has 2 kids with her.
Hey, I'm just saying Star Wars original trilogy, unedited, no special edition bullshit here. It is the gold standard because, you know, who couldn't get it done? Michael Corleone. The third movie we all knew was shitty. I even remember seeing posters for it back in the day, and I was like, this is not going to live up to the other ones. So, and as a 14-year-old kid, I saw the writing on the wall, and he was dead. DOA, Godfather, spelled backwards. That's it. It's all my shitty.
Did you know that if you say fuck off and you say it backwards, it sounds like an Irishman saying fuck off?
You should, yeah.
Write that down and look at it. It's really funny.
Jack should have gone with the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Ooh, Gordon Bombay for the W. Yeah. Wait a second. You can't use the fucking...
Yeah, he
podcast
did.
He chat did. Handle to campaign for your shit.
No, we didn't endorse that, by the way. Yeah.
No, not at all. Anywho, Jack.
I mean, it's weird because, like, Star Wars, you know, since he's here, I'm just going to crap on it. Star Wars, you know, endorses bestiality. It endorses, you know, incest. Endorses a lot of weird, twisted crap in George Lucas's mind. So, Ramblecast is not all about that.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. Lord of the Rings is just way too fucking long. I mean, I fell asleep in the second one. Literally fell asleep.
You already finished the second one, if I recall.
Well, I finished the ending, but I fell asleep for like at least a good 45 minutes, and I still was able to see 5 hours of the movie. It's just too fucking long. It just be cut. You know, you don't have to, the movie doesn't have to be that long to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you notice, some movies are long, like Nick and I, we've talked before about The Right Stuff. It's a long movie,
but you
don't notice it because it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, you notice it's long because it's not really a great movie. It's just people got, oh, this is great. Oh, fantastic.
They did break it
Let's see. And then you have Back to the Future. I don't know. You have Biff. It's basically attempting to rape and attack Lorraine, yet he's in the next 2. What is that? What kind of message is that sending to?
But they're different versions of Biff.
Yeah, I did different versions of Biff, but still, he shouldn't have been in. They got rid of Christian Glover. What?
But he volunteered.
And they brought in Crispin Glover in his replacement.
Whatever his name is. And then, but I forgot.
Speaking of, I watched Hot Tub Time Machine last night, and he was fucking fantastic in that movie. Do you guys remember that movie, Hot Tub Time?
I remember. I've only watched it once.
I do remember it.
Oh, dude, watch it again. That movie holds up. It's hilarious.
Gott's here, and it's Gott's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Gott.
And he's a huge Bear fan, and the Bears went out and gave him a birthday present. They signed Andy Dalton as their quarterback for this season. happy birthday to Gott.
Meanwhile, in New England, the Patriots spend $250 million of rebuilding their team.
And they still don't have a quarterback.
I know. And, we got Cam Newton. We signed him.
Yeah.
You think the Pats are going to be like the Bulls after the 98 season, like just 23 years of shit.
Yep. Hopefully not.
Well, they did. They do have some great tight ends.
And anyways, Jack, I'm sorry. You're still
Star Wars. Whatever. That's just a bullshit pick because there's like 20 different Star Wars movies. I'm sorry.
I'll interrupt you, Matt style. I'll let you know that God just says at least the team kept the team in Chicago.
And to be fair, because nobody else wants him.
Oh shit, that's so good.
Hey, they won a Super Bowl, but they still have never had a great quarterback in my lifetime, and I'm fucking old.
Never. I mean, Jack's not wrong. But at least the team's still in Chicago.
But are they? Are they? You go out and you sign Andy Dalton. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah, Jack, are you done ranting about everybody else's picks?
Yeah, I'm done.
You're just sad that you didn't pick Toy Story.
I wouldn't have picked Toy Story.
You'd have won. We talked about, didn't we, it was the Back to the Future theory about the beginning of the film. Because I always love like how many people read into Back to the Future. About in the very beginning of the film when they're all watching TV and Lorraine is like remembering, you know, where I fell in love with your father and all stuff again. And she keeps asking him about it, but they're all very like melancholy in this scene, mm-hmm. you know, and then I think she's on pills or something, but then the dad, you know, every time she's asking something like, hey, remember this, he just kind of goes, what, Lorraine, what, you know, and then like goes back to watching TV and just starts laughing. And it's because he's purposely ignoring her, because that's the theory, is that without Marty, what Biff was doing to Lorraine in the 50s really happened. And so they're both blocking out the negativity of that, of what the repercussions of that. And that's why Biff is still the bully he is in the first part of the film.
So in the 80s. So the oldest son is really Biff's.
Could be. You don't know. That's
true. Wow. Hmm.
Interesting. I don't know his name, but he's
that's awesome.
Son. Yeah. It's just things that you don't think about, you know, until you're like, wow, that makes total sense.
Jack would just go back and fix all of the mistakes of the San Diego Chargers. Be like jumping in at just the right moment.
Don't you mean the LA Chargers, right?
The mistake of the San Diego Chargers was having a shitty fucking owner. The city didn't lose anything. It was the owner. It's fact. The owner was shitty. I mean, what are you going to do? He has no money. It's like you look at the Raiders right now. They're literally trading all the way their expensive guys because they have no money. Mark Davis is a billionaire on paper, but he's not even a millionaire in real life. He has no money. And that's the same thing with the Spanos family. They're only billionaires because the team is worth billions of dollars, not that they have the money. And that's why they're dumping their players.
That's a lot of people.
Thanks, Randy, for pointing out who Biff really is. Before this show goes on any much further,
it's time for a break, for a commercial break.
No, I was actually going to try to wind up because then we.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, trying to keep
not really.
It.
I'm not sorry.
Well, if we go on any much longer, you know, it's gonna. You know, be too long, but we'll move things over, I guess, to a short bonus show in the patron section. But as we
think about it, Chris, now.
Oh, hey, we did have an email. Did you guys see that? It, nice. It came in at the very last second here. It comes in from Maggie.
Oh, I thought it was going to come from a certain young lady.
Oh, no, it says San Diego State. No, Jack.
The mother of Chris's child.
You guys are fucking unbelievable. You're fucking relentless. I mean, I give you credit. The legs on this joke just keep getting longer. And
how long are your son's legs?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
He's 25 now, right? So
does he wear blue jeans? Because, man, I haven't gotten enough of that shit.
Because, like I said, he's probably 25 now. So I just want to hear this accent coming like, hey, is my father over there? Fuck you, Dad. Never knew you.
Oh, fuck you, here's doing?
Here's your Boston cream, fucking asshole.
All right. I'm going to read Maggie's email.
Fuck you and the Kennedys.
Yes. Anyway.
All right. It says San Diego State, Jack, because only San Diego people care. I just picked San Diego State to win March Madness in one of my two brackets. Crazy, I know, but I had to do it. I've picked teams based on names since I was a kid. I like to pick the better or more fun sounding name. Name or the college or state has to mean something to me. I won a few years ago by picking Villanova the year they won. Also, hi, Nick, Matt, and Chris. Hope you are all well. Maggie.
Well, San Diego State could have won last year. They had probably one of the best teams in the nation, but I guess we had a virus that shut everything down. So
good luck, Maggie, on your pick.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the national I did pick them because the hell. They should be able to go at least to the Sweet 16, but it depends on, you know, if their outside shooters shoot like they did all season, they should beat Syracuse, who I think is Dennis's team, but Dennis doesn't listen to us anymore, right? So
no, Dennis listens. Why are you shitting on Dennis? And
I'm just saying, I don't know if he listens anymore.
And if you have any inside shooters, maybe you'll be like Chris and get an AOL love child of your own. Send us an email at rcadcast@gmail.com.
That's rcadcast@gmail.com.
I'm just fucking it up.
Having my baby. A lovely AOL.com. Way of saying how much I love you.
Yeah, did y'all see, because I doubt you did, but like the SEC tournament's on, what has been on. And Florida was playing Tennessee. I mean, because like, she's talking about like roughing, you know, like guy from Florida double elbowed one of our players and guy's out for like the entire tournament.
Double elbowed? Is that like when you run at someone like this?
Well, so they're going up for the ball. And the first one you could have maybe dismissed as like accidental contact, but then the guy turns and just like deliberately like elbow to the face and just like, fuck. Like,
so he's out for the tournament?
Yeah, the guy who threw the elbows is out for the tournament, but the other guys too, from like, because he got a concussion and then just the hitting the floor so hard from getting smacked.
Rub some dirt on it.
Everything just sounds painful to me right now. So
he probably picked the Lords of the Rings trilogy
too. All right, so do you have a planned list or?
I do. I'm gonna put them up here and.
You've had two good weeks in a row.
Chris, right, you're going to read them.
My best dramatic reading.
Okay. So for anybody that wants to, you can go over to jandjack.com, become a
Thanks
patron.
Thanks for the email, Maggie.
Click on the patron link. Help us out by rating and review us on iTunes. And at this point, we'd like to thank, well, A, everybody in the chat for joining us live. Yes. We always appreciate that. A lot of people showing up for St. Patty's Day.
Except for Gott.
Don't
it's his birthday, man. Don't shit on him. His birthday.
Yeah. Come on.
All right. I'm sorry. He's not 50 yet.
All right.
I think he is 50, isn't he?
I don't think he's 50.
He's not 50?
You know what?
I follow him on Facebook. He sure looks 50.
I must be fucking blind because these guys just can't fucking hear me at all. Like, I mean, just,
are you talking, Matt?
Yeah. Saying? I'm trying to finish this fucking
I'm sorry.
Show.
Okay.
Show.
So you got the name. So I do. Along with all the patrons and all the people in the chat, there are some special patrons we'd like to thank because of how much they do contribute to make sure that this show happens. And every week, Matt takes his chances and opportunity to explore his creativity by coming up with crazy names that he thinks are funny in his head, but oftentimes don't fucking deliver. And without further ado,
there better be one name for you. There better be one name that says blank commercial break.
Let's go.
That'd be a good one. So,
beam me up, Tack. Is this from last week?
We didn't even talk about Star Trek.
No, because it was the UFO experience that I had.
I could have said that trilogy.
And the next one is Outer Richter Eckhart Experience.
Because we were talking about psychedelics, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Stay with me
and
here.
And the next one here is Ed didn't get the IG message.
You know, Instagram message, because you guys were...
Okay.
Maybe these
This is what we call stretching a little bit. We're stretching.
I liked this one, though.
Microdose Maggie.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Joanne just reads the Ringo books.
And last.
And the greatest trilogy is.
The Gregest
trilogy is. Well, as the guy who read your names this week, I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think I want to read them next week.
Well, thanks. Thanks for playing along. Go get God's collarbone, pull it out of the sky, make a wish. Thanks for joining us. This was a great show. It's one and a Greg. May you have the luck of the Irish.